Welcome to International Clearance. I'm Joe Walker, co-host of this show where we chronicle footballers leaving the UK to go and play or coach abroad. My host, co-host alongside me as always is Scully. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I like that romantic intro this week. Like the Odysseus of footballers. I like it. Chronicling their journeys. I'm into that.
Yeah, I feel like I've come crashing in a couple of weeks doing this so far. Maybe not recapped what we're actually here for any new listeners that came along the way, have seen interviews with whether it was Cam or the Seth Burkett one last week. New faces, new visitors, thinking, what is this then? And yeah, maybe we should all that radio experience we do have didn't do the basics, forgetting the basics, but there you go. Now, there's so much this week, we're not going to have a guest. Got a bit carried away, I got a bit pervy with some of the updates, so we're going to give it as much space as possible. Referencing a few things that came up in last week's episode before the Seth Burkett interview, we spoke about Jason Puncheon as the new manager of AEK Zikakiou in Cyprus. He's had two games already. First one was a 1-1 draw and then lost very late on in his second game on Sunday evening. We joked about who his potential backroom staff would be. Can you remember the player we specifically said as a, wouldn't it be great if they reunited?
We really wanted to see him back with Bolasie. Yeah.
Well, two-parter update to that. Jason Puncheon has not got a familiar backroom staff. I think he's kept it local. Yannick Bolasie is definitely not joining because Yannick Bolasie, according to Fabrizio Romano, is on his way to Brazil.
There was thousands of quote tweets on that tweet. I read hundreds. And there were so many Brazilian fans who were excited for him to join. And I didn't know that, like, obviously football fans watch other leagues, yeah?
Yeah.
But I didn't know Bolasie had reverence as he does in South London. Like, they were like, oh, the skills he's going to do. Oh, the Bolasie turn, all of this. I was like, yo, this is a thing.
They have not been in the top flight, I think, since it looks like 2014. And they got promoted this season. So they're going into the top flight. And Bolasie, you've got to remember, one thing I always used to hear about from the kids, Bolasie was 5-star skills on FIFA in his peak. So It does not matter where you are in the world. If you're looking for that type of player on those type of games, you know who they are. Like, Bolasie had his own move. You got to remember, the Bolasie flick was like his own thing. So, yeah, if you're supporting a Brazilian side, Criciúma, I believe it's pronounced, there was a YouTube video that told me, but you can't trust those pronunciation videos. They were promoted into the Brazilian top flight. Bolasie's 34, right, going here. And you're right, it is just the most fun move possible. Apparently he's flying in and their season starts in April. So he actually is going over pre-season. He did a short-term deal at Swansea, which expired in January. And I don't think he was playing that often. But yeah, Bolasie, 34, turning 35 in May, going to Brazil. Well, think of all the skills in his back pocket, all the things you've seen, the entire catalogue. Where better to just play the hits than in bottom half of Brazil? Like, come on. They're going to love you for that because you don't even have to have in product. They'll just be celebrating you doing it. The highlights videos are going to be amazing.
All due respect to Bolasie, he deserves all the credit because he's somebody that I wish had a much higher career. Not to say that his career wasn't good, but obviously Everton didn't go too well. He had the horrible injury.
When you're out that long, a club always replaces you. It doesn't matter how much money they paid for you. You can't be out for a year. A club doesn't just firm it. They go and sign somebody else and that was the end of that. But it's just the latest step in Bolasie's, and if we're talking about dream guests and stuff, Bolasie has played in Malta. He's played for Sporting. He's played for Anderlecht. He's not afraid to go abroad. I think the move to Malta when he was younger got him out of non-league here and actually was a big part of his development and sparked his pro career. So I guess he wouldn't be afraid of going out to Brazil, but so much fun and just really well-timed news considering last week's guest was Seth Burkett, who the whole thing was talking about playing in Brazil and the romance of that. The other nation that Seth Burkett discussed having played there was Sri Lanka. And incredibly, we also have an update involving Sri Lankan football this week. This one, to be fair, was handed him on a plate by the one and only Cam of English mm-hmm. Players Abroad. This is a little diaspora duty update. Jack Hingott, he's 33 years old, right back. Born in London, moved to Melbourne when he was 14. He was very briefly at the Palace Academy before that. He then came back to England to join the Peterborough United Academy. Didn't play the senior for the senior team then, and made his way back to Southeast Asia, Australia. He's been at Brisbane Roar since 2011. He's basically a club legend. He's won league titles there. And now, as he enters the kind of later years of his career, he's thinking, what else haven't I achieved? What else can I do? So Jack Hingott has declared for Sri Lanka. Had a familial link. He is now going to declare for Sri Lanka, who, as we said on that show, need all the help they can get on the international team, in need of infrastructure.
Yeah, you're never too late. Big up, Jack. He's declaring at 33, 34. Is just, that's a touch, mate. Like, yeah. Why not? Like,
I think he was first approached with Sri Lankan national team in like 2019, 2020, and then COVID took a knock to that, and that was abandoned. He then came back to them, had a little training camp in 2022 in Qatar with a bunch of other players they were thinking about nationalising. He seems really proud of that. It's all over his social media. And I guess because they aren't in the Asian Cup, you get this sometimes with certain tournaments, Scully. Like, you know, certain countries just won't enter a tournament, or there'll be yeah. some other issues that mean, oh, they didn't make that out of their preliminary stage. So there's no friendlies. They just wait 3 years until the next qualifying. So I think he literally, interested in that camp. And then they're like, cool, we got no worthwhile games for like a year and a half. So we'll shout you then. And that seems to be where he is now. So yeah, that's just super fun. It might not be a lot of games because they're so poorly ranked, but yeah, just super interesting. And hopefully he's on some nicer pitches than the ones that Seth had to play on, with snake holes and cowpat and bricks hammered into the surface.
The power Seth has, yeah. For us to talk about Brazil and Sri Lanka, to immediately come back with two updates from two 34-year-old players.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
Yeah, this is lovely stuff. Yeah, both around Seth's age, different points in their different places in their careers, but just excellent. Thought I'd start with those updates. A couple more. The transfers are still happening. Brooklyn Lions Foster is a Spurs youngster, a defender, 23 years old, hasn't had any opportunities in the Spurs team. I think he's obviously had a pro deal if he's there till 23, but hasn't made his way into the team under, I guess, not just Ange, but also Conte. He's been allowed to join on a free transfer HJK Helsinki, who are without question the biggest club in Finland, like giants of the
fascinating.
Game. I just suppose because even at Spurs he wasn't getting loan deals, to be somebody that is 23, you're begging for games at this point. Some people leave Premier League academies and then just don't, right, I'm either going to have to take a big jump down to bottom of the football league, English football pro pyramid, or even into non-league. But then if HJK come in and go, cool, we'll pay you a reasonable amount and you'll start for us. We play for the title in Finland. And maybe a much more fun incentive than dropping down to a League Two side, maybe.
Definitely helps your career prospects. Like you say, like, if you can say, all right, cool, I left there, I won a title in this league. And he might really want to stay in Finland, but he might also be like, well, maybe a Portuguese team will look at me. Maybe a Belgian team will look at me. And from there, you can progress up the rungs. You know, I'll be keeping an eye on that one, because that is a very interesting move from Tottenham Academy, which is often heralded as a producer of top talents.
Yeah, but every time you step up a little bit more, the ability to break into those teams, unless it's a real philosophy thing, is so difficult. He hasn't been on the bench for the Tottenham senior side for 2 years. So you have to know at some point, I'm not fighting this. He was captain of the under-21s, playing basically every week in that team. I guess maybe in that weird in-between zone where he's like, if I stick around, I might get some games, rather than just be like, oh, I need to get a loan to be ready. It just seems to not worked out for him at all, whether or not he was good enough. But yeah, they are the reigning champions of Finland, which, as you can imagine, means they are also in the Champions League. In fact, just looking now, they were in the Champions League qualification. They lost that. Mm-hmm. Europa League, went into the Europa League, lost the playoff there. So they ended up in the group stage of the Conference League. How nice is that to have two safety nets like that?
Yeah, that is lovely for them.
I mean, I'm sure they would just like to just qualify straight for a group stage, but yeah, they didn't get it out of their group stage. More on the European football later. But yeah, fingers crossed he has a really good time out there. Another weird positive signing for the theme of this, let's say. They are weird because they're not that usual. This one is particularly interesting and it is also particularly weird. George Dobson, Charlton Athletic midfielder, currently Charlton captain. There's a lot going on at Charlton. It's not had a great time for a few years now. They're currently in League One. He's not having a good time at Charlton. His contract's running out at the end of the season and for whatever reason is just not interested in seeing what happens in the summer and assessing his options. And this is a guy, by the way, he's 26. He's ex-West Ham Academy.
He's Arsenal, then West Ham.
Yeah. So, you know, that's decent stock. Really, he could be a championship player. He's played for Sunderland. He's played for Walsall before going to Charlton and been there for the last 2-3 years. He has agreed a deal to join a team in the summer, Berva, I believe. They're a Hungarian side. And I think there was even a possibility of him joining sooner than that. But Charlton either put a stop to it or something happened where it just means he's going to join them on a free transfer in the summer. He doesn't appear to have any connections to Hungary. He has played abroad before. When he left West Ham, it was to go to Sparta Rotterdam, where he was there for about a year or so playing half a dozen games. Players agree these kind of deals all the time, Scully, as I'm mm-hmm. sure you're aware.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people bend the rules, but you're allowed to check. If your contract's running out in the summer, you're allowed to talk to clubs in other countries from January about and agree stuff. That's all legal. Very rarely does it happen where you actually announce that you've agreed it that early. Not only has the deal been publicised, he has taken a photo with the fur of our shirt. This guy's still captain at Charlton. Yeah. And it's caused a bit of a stir at Charlton because they're kind of like, well, how into it are you for the rest of the season now? What is this? It's a Bermuda manager and everything.
And you know, we're all about players going abroad on this show.
Yeah.
But like you said, announcing a deal 6 months early and holding up their shirt while the club you're currently at and captaining is going through turmoil is a really peculiar move. Weird was definitely the right word.
They're currently third in the league in Hungary, and that would put them into the Conference League qualifying, which, as much as he has played abroad, as big names as clubs he has played for, Charlton and Sunderland and all that, not to be sniffed at, nothing like a dangle of the carrot, the European football carrot, is what gets people moving. Not a big club update this week, but we will quickly jump to two of the more regular names that come up. Jordan Henderson first, because
we might need jingles for these two, by the way.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Hendo watching and Kane Cam. I'm gonna go in and jump in and say it.
Okay, great. Can I get a improvised Hendo watch jingle right now, please?
Hendo watch.
Thank you. We were debating last week about that rumor about captain in the side. You thought maybe they bottled it because the reaction publicly was pretty weird and bemused to it. I was like, I don't know, man, we'll see. He captained them this weekend. And they did a big old deal about it as well. So it didn't wait too long. So
They had a photo shoot for this. And it really like confused me. Like we said before, they've got a lot of young players who are still on the come up, let's say.
Hmm.
So I understand the Henderson captaining, but like it's so early. Yeah. And I'm aware that most of their players will speak English, but like, does he even know the club culture yet? Like, does he even know where everything? If I went to the training ground right now and I asked Jordan Henderson to give me a tour, do you think he'd be able to manage it?
What's the name of the person at reception?
Who takes your kits after training?
Yeah,
and delivers them the next morning.
Who, Jordan? Club ambassador. Yeah,
he ain't got a clue. He ain't got a Scooby yet. Yeah. And that's no disrespect to Jordan, because Jordan is obviously, like we've mentioned before, he's loved by everyone who's played with him or watched him captain aside up close. It's 100%. Just a really interesting pick, like, but yeah. I think he'll do well.
Not to put this on him, but Ajax's form hasn't been great. they drew that game at home to NEC Nijmegen. And I mean, they also drew in midweek as well, in the Conference League, but I'll come back to that a little bit later in my pervy European roundup. Ajax are fifth. They are 16 points off second. First, we said it's just no go. PSV are miles clear. They're now 16 points off second, which is the other Champions League spot. They're 8 points off third, which still feels like a massive mountain to climb, as good as they can be.
They're definitely getting at least Conference League. They're getting, I can easily see them getting that fourth spot.
They have to, they've got to turn it on more, because they look like they're conceding a lot of goals at the moment. But yeah, more on their midweek exploits in a sec. That was Hendo Watchdown. What did you call your
Kane Cam?
Oh, that felt suspiciously similar to the other one, but
was.
We don't do improv classes. It's fine, you know. Harry Kane and you know, by proxy, this is a Bayern Munich update. They lost at Bochum on the weekend. Kane did score a late goal in that game to bring it back to 3-2.
He also missed it. Oh my!
You saw that chance. You
disgusting.
Amazing assist, like should have been by Musiala, a player that we kind of don't really bring up, even though played for England for a little bit. But you know,
I mean, if he wants to come on the podcast and talk to us about that, we are ready.
Yeah, absolutely. But Bayern haven't won in a week, because obviously we spoke about them losing to Leverkusen, getting slapped by Leverkusen. To be honest, They also lost in the Champions League in a week. They've had two Upamecano reds in two games. So you can kind of say, I'm not saying it's his fault, but I can also say it's not necessarily Kane's fault when that kind of chaos is going on at the back.
He did miss the sitter today.
Yeah.
And I want to let you know that Bochum have won four games this entire Bundesliga season.
Right.
That in itself is unforgivable.
Yeah. In the context of Harry Kane specifically, you can't talk about his time at Bayern without talking about silverware and his career up to this point not winning anything. Are we really already looking at having to write this season off for silverware? Barring a miracle in the Champions League, they are now 7 points adrift, maybe, or maybe even eight in the league. He's really not going to win it this year, is he?
I believe they're out of the DFB Pokal, right?
Yeah, they lost to a like a third tier side.
So they basically can only get European silverware or the league. It doesn't really look like they're going to win the Champions League, judging from this week's performance. I want to know how they're going to take that. Because I think it's a very English narrative, right? That Harry Kane is like, as talented as he is, he's not necessarily as clutch as people hope. It's all agenda built by rival fans.
Yeah.
We don't want to accept him as a world-class talent, right?
Yeah.
How quickly does that narrative go European?
Right.
If Bayern go without a trophy,
yeah.
Let's find out.
Does it come from rival fans in Germany, or does it come from fan base of a club that spent 100 million on him?
Because one thing you have to remember of Bayern fans is, yeah, imagine you're in a league where your team has won the league 10 times, 11 times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to believe that you should win it every single...
I do think what protects him is just how many other more blatantly culpable people there are. Because let's not forget, go back 2 weeks, he's broken the record for the best debut season goal scoring wise. He's still set to beat Lewandowski's record. So like, there's only so much more he can do. Like, if he's scoring every week, it's just, you knew what he went there for, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. Which, does he move on to a different adventure, or does he go again? Hey. Bless you, Harry Kane.
Oh, Kane. Yeah. Kane Cam, we're not done yet.
We've mentioned a couple of times now European competition. So between the last episode and this one, knockout football in the European competitions has begun. So, well, Champions League's had round of 16 first legs. Europa League, Conference League has this slightly extended format. They've got knockout round playoffs to before the round of 16. It's a bit of a mangled mess. There's like half a dozen teams playing these knockout games. But across this midweek round of fixtures, I mean, there'll be a bunch more by the time this episode comes out. They'll either be that day or the next day. I knew there'd be a few. There are way more than I thought. There are so many English, Scottish players featuring in the European competitions in the knockout stages. And it's going to take a while. We're going to go through them all. We're going to do it. Some you'll know about, but I just feel like it's worth bringing to your attention just how widespread the players that meet our remit really are, and the level that they're all up to as well. It's not just people on a little jolly. There are some who are actually like playing at like what you qualify, the elite level, the kind of stuff that excites you. As we mentioned with George Dobson, the sort of stuff that gets you out of the English football pyramid into another country is the carrot dangled of European football. So Champions League, we have mentioned Lazio beating Bayern Munich. Kane played 90 minutes in that. Eric Dier, unused sub. We'll brush past that. We've mentioned it already. FC Copenhagen 1, Man City 3. Not talking about Man City. Not, we don't care about him. FC Copenhagen, mate. Scott McKenna at centre-back. Joined from Nottingham Forest on loan in January. And he's gone straight in and he's playing in the Champions League. This is Scott McKenna. He'd come up through Aberdeen. So he's probably played in Europa League. This is the highest level he's been at. This is it, mate. Like,
it's fantastic. It's fantastic. That's the reason why you take those moves.
The mad thing was that was his debut. There are like half a dozen games left in the Danish season. Unlike Finland, it's actually they're played across the winter as well. Mm-hmm. Although there does appear to be a winter break in the Danish season. Sort of like January, there wasn't any games. So there's about 4 or 5 games left of the domestic season. They're second place in that. And then the season, the Danish Superliga breaks in half and you have a championship round, what's called. So the championship round becomes like a straight shootout with the other teams like Nordsjælland, Midtjylland, Brøndby, Silkeborg, who David Priest played for in season one, and AGF as well. So
that's why they brought him in then. They brought him in as emergency.
You're going to get us over the line for the championship round. So yeah, that's the Champions League. By the time this comes out on the Wednesday, there would be another round of Champions League games, different teams. So PSV v Dortmund, you've potentially got Jadon Sancho playing in that. And also the other story, Jamie Bynoe-Gittens, who's a teenager, born in Reading, England under 21 international, part of the Dortmund setup. Like, he's one of the younger players, obviously, but he's in amongst that team.
Jadon Sancho obviously left City's academy
to
go there. They sold him on to Manchester United, massive success. Bynoe-Gittens is actually a similar story to them. He was in City's academy for just like a year or two.
Okay.
And that's when he moved to Dortmund straight after.
Amazing.
So he was basically supposed to be their Sancho replacement. They basically knew Sancho was going to go at some stage. This guy's too talented, but we need another one who can do this similar job. And as soon as Sancho goes, we'll have his replacement and he could go on. I think some injuries kept him sidelined and stuff like that. However, he's back. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how he does. Big up yourself, Jamie.
The other game concerning your mob, Arsenal, you've got Porto in the round of 16 Champions League. Porto up front have Danny Loder, who used to play for Reading. 23 years old, also goes by the name Danny Namaso, but they're no little team. That's a big, big club to be playing
huge.
For. Yeah, he's only played a half a dozen league games this season. So he's obviously a little bit further down. But yeah, he's been there since, I don't know, 2020. So he's joined them in lockdown.
His contract is until 2028. So they've clearly got some faith in him.
Yeah. I mean, if there's any clubs in the world that know how to maximise value and finances from young players, it's Porto and Portuguese 100%. League.
100%.
That's their bread and butter.
He's going to have a good time there. We'll
see whether he's trusted to be the bane of Arsenal's Champions League campaign this year. The Europa League, it's currently the knockout round playoff. As we said, the winners go into their round of 16, which is in March. This includes some Champions League dropouts and people in the group stage from the Europa League. Milan beat Rennes 3-0 in their first leg. Two more goals for Ruben Loftus-Cheek. It might just be us, but I'm sounding that horn for the Euros.
Let's be fair. Let's have it right. Kobbie Mainoo, let him go Ghana. They need the extra help right now. Curtis Jones just got injured. He will not be on that plane. Lewis Miley, great first season, but Newcastle are not amazing right now. Cool. Ruben Loftus-Cheek back to the fold. Let's get the band back together. Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Come on.
Ross Barkley with Jude Bellingham just ahead. I'm calling it now. That's what we deserve. Football from three different countries in Europe. We're giving them three different stylies.
Just what you said. Can you imagine playing that to you back in August?
Yeah, it'd probably be ridiculous.
You'd be like, what the
well,
hell
not
was
probably.
like, what the hell has happened? Like, how's
You know
how
what
have
it
we got
is?
here?
To our Bolasie point earlier, yeah, there are two players who've been ridiculously talented. Ruben Loftus-Cheek is loving life at Milan. He's genuinely one of their better players.
Yeah, I think he's now in his record. This is his best return goal scoring wise in his career, I think
You could
now.
argue he is their most important player. Leao has not been as consistent. Ruben Loftus-Cheek has to get on that plane. I'm sorry, he does. His form has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Southgate, we know you're listening.
Yeah. Milan did lose on the weekend away at Monza. They were down to 10 men. I'm not going to hold that against them. But yeah, more importantly, in Europe, he's having a great time. And they'll be having the second legs of these games in the next couple of days. Milan 3-0 up, probably going through, barring a Ren miracle slash Milan collapse. Elsewhere in that Europa League knockout round, you've got Young Boys of Bern, Switzerland. Lost 3-1 at home to Sporting Club Portugal. Marcus Edwards gets 90 minutes in there. A player we haven't mentioned yet this series, but just somebody that everyone has just assumed is going to be back in the Premier League.
He's another Tottenham Academy product
Yeah.
who was highly tipped, went over to Portugal, has been playing really well. He gave Tottenham a few daggers. I think he put over the two games they played last season. And people were like, yeah, he looks really sharp. And no offense to Sporting, but I'm sure he goes to a bigger team for a
Yeah,
very good price.
he is 25 now, but I'm interested. Yeah, so it'd be interested to see what they value him. I know he has a release clause of about 50 million euros, but yeah, it's also another thing with Marcus Edwards. Of course, eligible to play for England. Also eligible to play for Cyprus. He played for England under 20s, but of course, being 25 now, I wonder if he ever thinks about doing that call, or if he actually backs himself if he gets back in the Premier League, whether. It won't be too late for him to get in that. But yeah.
A lot can happen for him. I'm really excited to see where else his career takes him. Like, he might become a Cypriot legend. He might become a Portuguese legend.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? He might come back to the Prem and bat it up. But I'm definitely watching closely because when I've watched him on Europa League nights, he's looked fantastic.
Yeah. Feyenoord, true with Roma, Chris Smalling, a new sub for Roma. Galatasaray beat Sparta Prague. Wilfried Zaha came on late in that. There's a few wingers there that they all sort of rotate. And maybe they figured that they didn't need Zaha for this game, but he did come on in the closing stages to see it out. Now, this is one I'll admit I didn't know about and I wanted to flag it. Shakhtar drew 2-2 with Marseille. On the bench for Marseille, so he didn't play, but it's still worth a mention. Did you know who Emran Şoğlu was?
No clue.
18 years old, born in France, but raised in England. He's
Okay.
he's 18, but he's an under 20 international for England. Plays midfield, but also left back. He's in the Marseille setup.
This is fascinating.
Prior to Marseille, he came to England when he was like 8 or 9, I think, by the looks of it. And then came through Chelsea Academy and then played for England under 15s, under 17s, and now under 20s. Went to Marseille in 2022, broken into their squad this year. Again, we're talking like half a dozen games this season. But yeah, just again, another really interesting story, another person that we could talk about there. Maybe a name that comes up a lot more in a
I
year's
will be
time, in 2 years'
watching.
time. Yeah, for sure.
I'll definitely be watching.
Down from the Europa League then into the Conference League, their playoffs into the round of 16, the first legs. We've mentioned Ajax 2, Bodø Glimt 2. Bodø Glimt to that Norwegian side that beat Roma 6-0. Don't know if you remember that. They had a really mad European run last season or the year before. Jordan Henderson played 90 minutes. Tuba Akpom started, which is interesting given what we spoke about before. Kind of a really cool European opportunities for him. He didn't score. He was subbed after an hour. Ajax were 2-0 down in this game until injury time, and then they got goals in the 91st and 97th minute. When those opportunities come, you have to.
You have to
It's
grab
a
them.
cruel, it's a ruthless game that you've got to like bang in those, otherwise it ain't happening.
And that probably explains why he didn't start in the league game this
Yeah.
week.
And we mentioned Brobbey's amazing goal record for Ajax. He scored again in that draw on the weekend. So when he starts, he scores. So if you're Akpom, all you can do is score when you come on, basically.
Literally,
Yeah.
you just got to make sure you bet. I really hope Tuba does well because of his great work last season in the championship. I know he's going to have other offers, But let's face it, he went to Ajax for European opportunities and to win a title. The title thing looks like it's not going to work out this season.
Yep.
We're talking a lot about Kane Camp, but Chuba's going through the exact same thing. But he's hoping that he can at least have some European fun as well.
Yeah, so that second leg in deep Scandinavia is an interesting one. That's a potential banana skin there. I would imagine that Chuba Akpom starts that game again. They're going to need him to get that one over the line. Yeah, otherwise there's another scout for Bodo Glimt there in that second leg. Elsewhere, Union SG are a Belgian side. They only got promoted to the top division 2-3 years ago. I feel like they were in the second tier of Belgium when we did season one 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had some English players in there, one of which was Christian Burgess, who they signed from Portsmouth, who were in League One, League Two at the time. He's been there ever since. He's 4 seasons in at centre-back. He's 32, and he's still playing for them. They not only got promoted, they then won the league, and they are now in Europe. They beat Liverpool this season in the group stages, but they made it out of their group. Whatever happened, they are in the playoff round of the Conference League, and they drew 2-2 at home to Eintracht Frankfurt, who are a massive side, won the Europa League 2 years mm-hmm. ago, I think. Christian Burgess started in that game, but the other one I didn't know was there, came on late in the game for Union SG. Ross Sykes, who is a 24-year-old defender who used to play for Accrington Stanley. And I mean, that's a hell of a jump. Accrington
yeah.
to Union SG in the Conference League is sick. Like, I'm a massive fan of that.
That is mad.
Yeah, he is from Burnley, goes into Accrington's academy, plays 150 games for them, and then, yeah, joined Union SG last season. Yeah. Accrington to Europe is excellent. Like, it's a culture shock as well. Burnley to Belgium is, I mean, maybe company. It's the opposite highway.
Union SG are 8 points clear, top of the table, by the way.
Yeah, they're an interesting story. I think they're very much a nouveau riche kind of project.
Yeah, so they're a very old team, but they, you know, got investors in 2018, like you're saying.
Yeah.
One of them was Tony Bloom, who is the owner of Brighton.
But yeah, couple of Brits getting involved for them. And, you know, they've got a mountain to climb in the away leg in Frankfurt. Their Conference League adventure may be over, but they've got another chance. Other games, another Belgium side, Ghent. They mm-hmm. lost 1-0 away at Maccabi Haifa, Israeli side. They had a left back there, Archie Brown, another one I'd not heard of. 21 years old left back. Came through Derby's academy, won their youth title, but signed pro terms abroad. He went to Lucerne in Switzerland and played there for 2 seasons before getting a move to Ghent. Only the fourth ever Englishman to play for the club. And it's been a long time prior to that. I looked at, you know, just going off some of the names that Ghent have put in their article when they signed him. John Tudor, he played for Ghent in 1977. He's like played 200 games for Newcastle, but then also at the end of his career, got a little run out at Ghent. And then there are others here. I mean, Roman Moore is named, played for Ghent in 1923. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to pull that one out, I'm afraid. And the other one is Alan Soden. Oh my God, played for Ghent in 1914. His spell in Ghent is interrupted by the First World War. I don't think we'll be able to get them on the show. But yeah, Archie Brown, someone to keep a lookout for in the Conference League now that we didn't know was there.
I respect him. I respect him for having the heart. Listen, we keep banging on about it. If you're a young player, make the jump. Look out. Look where it's getting this guy. Like, you are doing European football, first team football, and you're 21, man. Like, your whole career ahead of it.
Yeah.
Ahead of you. I love it. I love it.
We mentioned in January, one of the transfers was Nelson Abbey leaving Reading to go to Olympiakos. Olympiakos were in the Europa Conference League. He didn't feature in the squad, but Omar Richards, who was the other English player at Olympiakos that we mentioned when he joined, who's on loan from Nottingham Forest, he was on the bench for that game. They beat Ferencváros 1-0, a slender lead to take to Hungary. But, you know, it's interesting to see. It's just so much representation, so much more than I thought. It's crazy. And finally, in this bumper roundup, we go to Austria. Sturm Graz 4, Slovan Bratislava 1. a game I just would not expect anyone from these shores to be playing in. Sturm Graz of Austria used to be in the Champions League a lot when I was younger. Like, they would play Man United in the Champions League group stage all
heritage
the time.
Heritage team. Proper, heritage, pure proper. Heritage.
They have got on the bench in this game. In fact, he comes on in the closing stages of this game. Max Johnston, a Scottish right back who has been at Sturm Graz for a year or so, under 21 international, born in Middlesbrough, but came up through the Motherwell Academy and had a couple years there, played on loan at Queen of the South, and was in the Scotland full senior squad back end of last year because of the injuries to Aaron Hickey, Andrew Robertson, and of course Kieran Tierney, fitness being floppy. So someone to keep an eye on abroad. He signed a 4-year deal back in the summer with Sturm Graz, and he is out here playing in a conference league for a team that is fighting for the title in Austria.
There is another player at Sturm Graz who also played for Motherwell and is technically born here, although he plays for Denmark. Mika Berith, Arsenal youth product, came up through the Fulham Academy though. He actually played in that very same game that Max Johnston was subbed on for, and he scored 4 minutes in.
Mika Berith joined Sturm Graz on loan in January. So
Arsenal dragged Mika out from Motherwell because he was basically scoring every game there. He was putting up like Haaland numbers. And they sent him to Sturm Graz, and I think this was his European debut. So I'm not sure how long he'll be at Sturm Graz. I reckon he might actually get a shot at Arsenal next season, but he's definitely one to watch. He's played in Eredivisie at RKC.
Yeah,
he's obviously been at Motherwell. He's at Sturm Graz now. Plays for Denmark, but he's born in England. He's turning into a prolific scorer, so it's quite interesting. Definitely another person to keep an eye on.
Yeah, 2 goals in your first 3 Sturm Graz games, one of which being in Europe. Even if it isn't good enough for Arsenal, that's still the exact kind of fun you want a 21-year-old to be having, just making a name for yourself in another country, becoming part of like modern Sturm Graz folklore, because those Champions League days are a long time ago in terms of like what them being like competitive in those. So the Austrian Football Bundesliga, it's called, that's another one with 4 or 5 games left of domestic season, and then it breaks up into the championship round. So that seems to be a familiar format now. Sturm Graz is second in that league table, just behind Salzburg. He's going to have a lot to say about that, I think. Although if there is a European distraction, because it looks like they're going through to the round of 16, you know, there's European distraction there for them. So, yeah, I don't know that we are going to be able to do that all again this time next week when the second legs have been played. Maybe it's a speed run, but I just thought it was worth really taking our time with that this week, because there's lots of stories there.
Yes,
there's lots of people, some we knew, some genuinely didn't, particularly in that Conference League section. There were names I'd never heard of that I'm like delighted for now, because they're just peak international clearance criteria. This is what it's all about. So salute to them. If there are any headlines from what they're up to in the second legs, we'll let you know next week. We'll try. But yeah, you can see why we didn't have a guest now, listener, innit? Like,
I like this. I like this, though. I feel like there was a lot to discuss and a lot to talk about, a lot to dissect. We're not going to be able to do this every week. You're right.
No way.
We need to more regularly.
Yeah.
I want to follow up on some of these. I'm going to be following these names this week. And even if we just do 20 minutes next week, I think you lot deserve some follow-up.
Yeah. The beauty of it is that half of them about to get eliminated in the second leg. That's the beauty of it. Don't expect league updates from all these people. I can't keep up with all that. But that's super interesting. That's why I wanted us to dedicate an entire episode to it, because that we're followed not just by enthusiasts, but people who are playing abroad, people who are thinking about playing abroad, people like, you know, further down the system in England. There are these crazy adventures out there, and at a level that is like what you would constitute elite.
100%. I want to hear more from these people. So please, if you have friends or, you know, teammates who have played abroad and have interesting stories, direct them to us. intlclearance@gmail.com. INTL Clearance on Instagram, INTL Clearance on Twitter, X, on TikTok, everything.
Yeah, and we'll be on there. Join us next week where we hear and learn a lot more about Thai football from our special guest.
Sorry for the listeners if you missed the guest this week, but it's nice just to really get into what's going on around the world. I like discovering these players alongside yourselves and Joe. So please, if you've enjoyed, give us a little like, give us a review, all of that good stuff, and we'll see you next week.